Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Volume is too low. Volume is too low. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. This is Dr. Youngblood. We're looking forward to our daily broadcast starting this wonderful week together. We're talking about issues, and as we talk about issues, ladies and gentlemen, I want us to understand we do so from a central biblicist standpoint. A central biblicist viewpoint simply means that we look at issues based on the authority of Scripture. What does the Word of God say? As we look at the Scripture, Jesus said, if you continue in my Word, he's speaking to his disciples, it's applicable to us today. If you continue in my Word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Ladies and gentlemen, the only way we can know truth is to remain in the Word of God. Study the Word, know the Word, apply the Word, and allow the Word to be the lamp to our pathway and the light to our feet, and allow God's Word to direct what we say and do. Jesus said in John 17:17, then, thy Word is truth. So as we look at issues, we do so based on the authority of the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, we want to talk about today a subject that I believe is very broad, but at the same time, we're going to narrow it down. God versus government. What does the Word of God say versus what government says? Ladies and gentlemen, I believe we're watching in our nation today, we're watching our United States become more of a divided states of America rather than the United States of America. Why is it that every American, all of us, can look at the same issues, we can watch the same tragic stories, we can watch the massacre of the 17 students in the Parkland High School in South Florida, and yet seemingly have a diverse idea of the cause and the cure of these problems? This is what Barner Report calls, that's George Barner in the Barner Report, he calls the collision of two worldviews. And ladies and gentlemen, one worldview is founded on the biblical view. It is founded on the Word of God. The other worldview is simply a secular worldview. And may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, the conservatives in America see abortion as murder. We see the sodomite marriages as being against God. The conservatives' worldview looks at the Constitution as being immovable and absolute. The conservative worldview sees government as God's instrument to protect our rights and our freedoms and our family and our safety and to protect us and our future. And contrary to that, we find with the liberals, I call them the loose likes lost liberals, generally the Democrats and the socialists and the those that consider the pragmatists, but they're literally progressives. And ladies and gentlemen, one of the major things that we need today is to recognize the need to turn back to God. In fact, in 2 Chronicles 7:14, the scripture says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then will I turn and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins. And ladies and gentlemen, we need our sins forgiven. We need our land healed. And the scripture says, God speaking, and then will I forgive their sins and heal their land. And our land truly needs healing today, ladies and gentlemen. It is a view that we find with the lost worldview, simply the socialist worldview, the secularist worldview, the worldview that is embraced by what seems to be a great deal of that which is in Washington and in our state houses and legislative branches across our land. There seems to be a view that is totally different from what the conservative worldview would be, or the biblical or the central biblicist worldview. It seems that with every tragedy that we have, like gun shootings, and we'll talk about more of that in a moment, but it seems that every tragedy that occurs, it is viewed from the Rahm Emanuel's standpoint when he was in the White House with Barack Hussein Obama. He said, don't ever let a crisis go to waste. And ladies and gentlemen, that's what we see taking place in America today with the crisis of the shooting in South Florida. There's a drumbeat. There's a call, a clarion call from the left that simply wants to destroy our constitutional rights. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, the reality is that America needs to turn back to God. We need to turn back to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who created us, the God who made us, the God who wants us to surrender to Him and to serve Him and not be a servant to government. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, we're a nation today that's banned the Bible, we've banned prayer, we've rejected God, we've abandoned the church, we've accepted sodomy as a way of life, we've accepted murder by way of abortion, we've accepted the philosophy of socialism, and more we're dependent upon government more so than God. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the things that we need to recognize is God has called a few men and women into His service in relationship to government. In fact, when you study the scripture, government is ordained of God. It is an instrument in the hands of God, and it's an instrument that God has ordained and designed to be used to protect the family, to protect our freedom, and to protect our future as individuals. But may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, it's designed to punish evil. Ladies and gentlemen, there's still a glimmer of hope, I believe, in America. God has given us a few local, state, and national politicians with spines to stand up, with a spiritual mind that says that we're going to obey God, we're going to obey the Constitution, we're going to recognize the need to have God and Bible and prayer and our Constitution as our guide for life. We're blessed today, ladies and gentlemen, to have one of our House of Representative members, one that I believe stands out with a stellar record of what he's done in Tallahassee for the state of Florida. Florida House of Representative member Jay Phan. Jay, I'm delighted that you have joined us today. Looking forward to our dialogue and discussion. Thank you for being on Let's Face the Issues today.
As am I, Dr. Gene Youngblood. It's always a pleasure to speak with you and your listeners.
Well, I am delighted that you're available. I know that you've had a, how would you say, a real high pitch, fast-paced move in Tallahassee in the past several weeks. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you, and Jay and I have not compared notes whatsoever, but I want to tell you that I'm thankful for his stand, his stalwart stand in Tallahassee, his stand for us. He's taken a stand on what is honorable, what is biblical, and what is constitutional. Jay, I would be the first to say to our listeners, I'm thankful for what you've done and your stand on several of these issues that we're going to talk about today. But first of all, I want you to just give us a little thumbnail sketch of some of the things that's transpired in Tallahassee in the past 6 or 8 weeks now in relationship to bills, those that are prominent bills, those that we should be concerned about, some of the things that you've seen and heard, and some words of encouragement to our listeners today. I realize that a lot of times when we talk about political issues, it gets into the realm, so, well, that's another political issue, and that's just negative. And so many Christians are shying away from that. But I want to wake Christians up, Jay. Our listeners, I want them to wake up and recognize that we need to be salt and light. We need to hold your hands up. We need to pray for you, encourage you and others that's taken a stand as you are. But give us a little thumbnail sketch of some of the last several weeks in Tallahassee.
Happy to, Dr. Youngblood, and I readily and heartily receive your blessings and your counsel. We legislators get put in a vice, it feels like, here in this town when any typical two-month session will involve 600 to 800 different bill proposals. And somehow we need to make sense of all that. And Dr. Youngblood, this session started somewhat calmly. The big political issue of the first half of session was the notion of sanctuary cities and whether elected officials should harbor illegal aliens or not. And I've shared with you in the past that I believe that is a violation of our constitutional oath to do so. And as we've gone about deliberating over that and going through our budget for education and healthcare, transportation, here we've had the evil that has occurred in Parkland. the massacre of 17 and many more injured that has taken over the thoughts of this legislature. There are a number of believers in the legislature, as you know, and
yes,
there are times where we certainly stay vigilant, waiting for opportunities to defend religious liberty, defend America, and this Parkland massacre seems to have brought out the best and the worst in our state. I would suggest that while we mourn and we try to reconcile how it is to be truly a victim in Parkland, we've also, on the other hand, had to deal with opportunists, Dr. Youngblood.
Yes.
Those who have long-term agendas to diminish America and what she stands for. And as you know, what I believe she stands for is that we are a nation that intentionally constructed a government that was only designed to protect rights given to us by God. Included amongst those rights are the freedom of religion, the freedom of speech. There's also the freedom to defend ourselves and the right to bear arms. And all of these segments found in our Bill of Rights have been under constant attack from the left, and they look for opportunities. And sadly, this is another opportunity for them. This week on the House floor, maybe as early as tomorrow, we will have to review a Senate bill which includes a gun ban for adults between 18 and 21 years old and a three-day waiting period for all people to buy firearms. And these are the types of things that are somewhat gratuitous in legislation and we feel unconstitutional and also not practical in defending crime, which we can elaborate further as you wish, Dr. Youngblood. But that's a quick thumbnail, maybe not so quick, of where we are as we finish seemingly what should be our last week of session this year.
Well, Congressman, let me ask you a question. With this proposed legislation about a partial gun ban, setting limits on our Second Amendment right, what is the status of that? And from the standpoint of the arguments pro and con, I realize, and let me just interject this before you respond, I realize that we have a constitution, and I realize that in our Bill of Rights, that the right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed upon, according to the wording of it. That means anything that would diminish from your right or my right to purchase a weapon for our personal security and protection. That was the Founding Fathers' idea behind that Bill of Rights, and especially the Second Amendment. And so with that being said, how do we go into any argument, debate, or dialogue in relationship to anything that would infringe upon that right? How do we do that constitutionally and yet somehow legitimize it? And I'm prayerful that it will not get traction. I call it a knee-jerk response to a tragic situation. It goes back to what I've called the Rahm Emanuel syndrome. Rahm Emanuel, as you recall, under the leadership of Barack Hussein Obama, said, don't ever let a crisis go to waste. And that's what I think is taking place here. What do you see with that, and what are the possibilities of that taking place in the state of Florida? I'm prayerful that it will not pass.
And I encourage those prayers. There is a lot of emotions that go in these types of topics, but for your listeners, I like to boil it down to two primary points. Number one, if you take the constitutional questions aside, the notion that law-abiding citizens should have gun bans and restrictions, and that such restriction would prevent crime, it is a fallacy. I recognize that many wish there were no guns, and they believe that if we ban all guns, that we wouldn't have crime. But the fact of the matter is that criminals access firearms in many, many ways, illegal ways included. They steal them. They buy them on the street illegally. They might borrow them from somebody else. And we've had gun bans for semi-automatic rifles in the past from a federal law in past years, and that has not stopped crime. Now, so that's the practical difficulty we have with these so-called gun bans. The constitutional question, Dr. Youngblood, and I would say the zeal in which we defend your right to bear arms is the same zeal that should be appropriated to defend your right to free speech, right to a jury trial, freedom of the press. These are the very, very basic, mandatory demands that our founders stated at the beginning of our government and said, there are some things we just don't trust you with. Even though the Constitution doesn't speak to these items directly, and in seemingly you could argue the Constitution doesn't prevent these rights from existing. But our founders said, nope, we're going to spell it out because we don't trust legislatures. And right now in Florida, our legislature may be an example of one that may not be trusted with these rights in the sense that Senate Bill 7026, being deliberated today, still includes a total gun ban where an 18 to 21-year-old may not buy a firearm of any kind whatsoever. That could include a 20-year-old single mother living by herself, may not simply go to a supermarket or a Walmart and buy a shotgun just because she feels that she needs some security. And that is onerous law. 3-day waiting period is in there as well. There's also new provisions that if an individual is Baker Acted, there are law enforcement has new opportunities to take firearms. And there's a potential fear that the Baker Act could be used as a weapon against people to take their firearms. My point is this, Dr. Youngblood. We've crossed that line that the founders did not intend for us to cross. And I encourage your listeners to be active and follow this legislation and let your legislators know that it's a non-starter. There are other solutions to defending schools, but this doesn't have anything to do with it.
Thank you so much for that dialogue and the overview. Ladies and gentlemen, you can join in this dialogue and discussion by calling 401-1413, 904-401-1413. Our guest today is House of Representatives Jay Fant. Jay is discussing with us the Senate Bill 7026 that is a partial ban on the right to keep and bear arms. It literally would ban anyone 18 to 21 years old of going out and buying a weapon of any type. Jay, let me ask you a question. How is it that we feel that a person that's 18 years old has become an adult, he or she can go into military and handle the high sophisticated weaponry that the world has ever known, and somehow, some way, if they are back in the States and they're out of uniform, that they are less than qualified to own a weapon for self-defense. I'm appalled by that thought. I'm against that thought because that, again, is an infringement on our Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms. I'm against anything that would come into effect that would in some way be the slippery slope of ultimately banning weapons in America. So how is it looking from the standpoint, I call it the good guys and the bad guys when it comes to Tallahassee and the vote. How do we look there from the standpoint of the possibility, the pros and cons of this being able to pass?
I believe, thank you, Dr. Youngblood, that the House will receive that Senate bill tomorrow and that it will include these onerous provisions. The Speaker of the House, who is for what I call these constitutional violations, will work very hard to make sure he gets the vote he needs to pass the bill out. So he is working very diligently to work with his members to make his case. I certainly am attempting to make my case. Regretfully, not everyone is a constitutional conservative. And a lot of people shrug their shoulders at these types of things. But you and I both know how dangerous it is to be cavalier with our constitutional rights. Because today, we may ban guns of all types between 18 and 21-year-olds. And then tomorrow, it may be, well, maybe we should do 65 and up as well. And it goes on, and it daisy chains. These are not the things, Dr. Youngblood, that prevent crime. I'm thinking of a quote that I saw from Franklin Graham last week, where he said, when the family is destroyed, society eventually disintegrates. And you can also insert in there when God is taken out of schools, and when God is taken out of the family, that eventually society disintegrates. We can't possibly have a government so large to make up for family and God being threatened in every aspect of our day, whether it's on television entertainment, other media, the negativity that we're confronted. It's ultimately time for the steadfast, the believers, to stand our ground, so to speak, and speak up for what we believe in and be heard. And eventually, our elected officials are always mostly accountable to people when they speak up. And I believe this is our time.
Absolutely. In fact, I've said, and perhaps you've heard me say, and I know on this broadcast I've said a number of times, we need to go back to the fundamental basics of the family. As we analyze the shooter in Parkland, Florida, and you go back and look at his broken family, his broken background, and understand there's a lack of the fundamentals there of what I call God, the Bible, prayer, church or a spiritual relationship, something that would build that fundamental foundation that he recognizes right from wrong, as we call it in such an elemental statement. But that seemingly is missing in most of those that we've seen in doing the shootings, mass shootings in our schools and other occasions, where there's a lack of recognition of the Creator God. There's a lack of submission and surrender unto Him as God that created the world. We're created in the image of God. And as such, there's value to every human life. So I put it on the basis very similar to what you've just stated. We ban God from the classroom. We've taken Bible out of the classroom. We've taken prayer out of the classroom. We've inserted there a secular humanistic mindset with evolution as the religion. And therefore, if an individual is brought up believing that he's simply evolved from an ape or evolved from a blob in the ocean, there's no accountability to God. And so until we get that right, until we do something in relationship to that, I believe we're still going to have major problems with this. This is the reason, for example, Jay, you're probably familiar with the fact that Kentucky and Alabama and Arizona have adopted laws through the state houses that now will allow their public schools to teach Bible in the classroom. I believe that's a fundamental start down the pathway of resolving these issues. But nevertheless, we're still faced with the Senate Bill 7026. Jay, do you know right offhand the telephone number that our listeners can pick up the phone today and call their representative or call their senators and plead with them benevolently, politely, but plead with them to vote no on this type of legislation?
Yes, sir. Dr. Youngblood, the easiest resource is to go to floridasenate.gov. And then for ultimately what will wind up in the House, myfloridahouse.gov, where you can find out who your state representative is. And I would call the phone number. As a member of the legislature, I can tell you that the most impactful communications I receive are phone calls, because they are the hardest to turn into a mechanized process. We're happy to get emails. We're happy to get text as well. But when my legislative assistant says, some real people called you, and here's what they said, it means that real people are paying attention, not just the organized special interest groups. So I encourage that type of activism, and encourage you to be salt and light whenever we can in the process.
Absolutely. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Representative Jay Fant, Florida State House Representative, and I'm delighted that we can have this dialogue and discussion. We still have an opportunity, if you want to join in the discussion, calling 401-1413, 904-401-1413. Jay, let me ask you a question. When it comes to this issue of trying to ban weapons, and we understand, and we both talked about that, and I believe our listeners understand clearly that that is a violation of our Constitution, and as such, we should shy away from that. But if we're talking about the threshold of 18 to 21, as you said a moment ago, if that passes, what's to cause it then from escalating? Another tragedy comes, and we say, well, this person was 22. Maybe we need to escalate it to 22 or 25 or 30, or as you said, 65. Why is it it's so that we have those that's in the our governmental realm, House and Senate, whether it's on this state or the national level, how is it that we find such a divided understanding in the mindset of people? Now, I've talked about several several times on this broadcast, and I introduced with my monologue today the fact that we have two worldviews. We have a secular worldview, we have a biblical worldview, we have a conservative and liberal worldview. And I have found, Jay, if I can say this and not trying to craft your words or your thoughts, but I find it sad, fascinating, and at the same time, something that is horrifying, that we have some in society today that with such a secularistic worldview and such a liberal worldview, that there's no recognition of God or of our Constitution, our founding documents, and therefore it's on a knee-jerk response. Tell us something about some of the arguments you're hearing in Tallahassee about why this should be done.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, there is. If you spend time in the legislature in our committee rooms, you would be quite appalled to hear some of the reasoning by those who oppose our point of view. And it applies not just to the Second Amendment, but it even applies to the First Amendment. We have members of the legislature who believe that on a university campus, all speech should be heard unless they disagree with it, in which case that speech should not be heard. And I've heard legislators with a straight face make these arguments. You and I can wonder how we have gotten to a place where so many policymakers are devoid of any biblical background and even constitutional background. And that's where opportunity is, Dr. Youngblood. It's our time for the faithful to realize that revival means not only our own spirits, but bringing others to belief and understanding the worldview that saves us from harm and the worldview that keeps us within lines that some object to, but then we realize are designed to keep us safe.
Absolutely.
We never know when the next revival is, but it's time, I believe, now for such a thing.
Yes. The House Bill 909 is what you just spoke of, reference to the free speech zones on campuses to protect free speech on higher education campuses, because our higher education campuses have become bastions of liberality and progressivism, and I call it communism light, which is referred to as socialism. Jay, we've got about a couple of minutes left. I'd like for you to tell our listening audience about your candidacy for the Attorney General's office, what you're wanting to do, why you're wanting to run for that office, what you would do once in that office, and what can our listeners do to help you with that issue.
Thank you, Dr. Youngblood. Again, my name is Jay Fant, and my website is jayfant.com, J-A-Y-F as in Florida, A-N-T.com. And the passion that got me involved in politics 4 short years ago to defend the Constitution, to protect religious liberty, speech, and certainly now Second Amendment rights, is the same passion that instills in me a desire to be your Attorney General, so that you have a full-time cabinet member, the Chief Legal Officer of Florida, who will stand between you and any government entity or individual who seeks to take that right away from you. I stay up at night thinking about this. This is my calling. And as we know, when you're in your calling, you almost float as you go about your steps. So I will be about the state, meeting with you individually and in groups, and I entertain your questions. And at jfant.com, I'd love to hear from you, and so I can stay in touch with you as well.
Wonderful. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you, Representative Fant, for joining us in this dialogue and discussion. We're praying for you that God will give you wisdom and strength and protection as you continue to serve the people of the state of Florida. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us. Looking forward to meeting you again on the air, even tomorrow, as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.